I'm Noah.
I'm Eddie.
And this is Lycos and Nostra.
It is. So...
Okay, some stuff has happened.
Yeah.
In like the last...
In the film world.
3 days. Some like serious... I don't think this anything like this has happened since the Amazon-MGM merger in like 2020. Yeah. I want to say
so 2019. Some Netflix genius decided it was a good idea to buy...
Well, no, it's a bit further back than that because it's just been like... Over, let's say, the last month, where
the Saudi Arabian government bought Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Warner Brothers wanted to put themselves up for sale.
Yeah, they put them up for sale. The Saudi government was like, they had spare cash, so they have an investment fund.
Of course.
And they were like, let's try and buy Warner Brothers. And that was really, really bad. And luckily, that didn't go through because we would have had, no offense, I love Saudi culture, but we would have had so many like,
Avengers visit
Saudi Arabia. And
I just think it's just like a country. It's just that
country.
It's just the idea of a country owning the studio.
Propaganda central.
It does not matter what company it is. It doesn't matter what country it is. I don't care what it is. A country owning a movie studio is just like
a terrible idea.
No.
Then
like we have gone to the point where like a bunch of people threw their hat, you know, into the ring with this as well.
No one's done it so far. The closest is Netflix. Warner Bros. Has actually agreed to
this. They've accepted the bid from Netflix.
We
don't live in a Netflix Warner Brothers world, yeah?
$72 billion.
$82.6 billion.
$82.6?
Yeah.
It's gone up then. $82.6 billion. And Paramount. A lot of people online are calling it the death of cinema. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
The way I see it, this goes two ways. Either the easy way, which is Netflix just fund Warner Brothers and let them do their thing. And, you know.
Which is the way that I wish it would go. But let's be honest, that's just not going to happen.
Or there's actually three ways. This goes three ways. Number one. Number two, Netflix and Disney get into like a chicken fight over who can buy the most companies.
Looney Tunes. Disney. Not the Disney Corporation. Batman. Disney.
Oh, God. How did we get that?
The Batman 2. A Walt Disney picture.
We get Snake Eye.
The Suicide Squad.
A Disney
picture.
Kermit the Frog meets... Batman.
Mickey Mouse.
A Muppets.
Mickey Mouse meets the Joker.
A Muppets Batman movie. Oh, God. Or...
Jafar versus Voldemort.
We get Tall Girl the movie produced by Warner Brothers.
Oh, jeez. This is scary.
So, yeah, take that as you will.
Yeah.
It's not looking good. But we still have A24, guys. It's okay. A24 will save us.
Yeah, so...
At this point, genuinely, and I don't say this in a, like, anti-religion way, but A24 is genuinely the Jesus of cinema at this point. Like,
oh, yeah, they're doing the God's work.
They're genuinely doing God's work. Like, the quality of every film they've put out. The fact that most of the movies that we have done, the highest proportion of a studio we've done is A24 says something.
Oh, is it?
I think.
So
I may be wrong in that statistic, but it sounds about right.
Okay, I am looking at the things...
Or maybe not. I'm being informed. It may not be.
I am looking at the things that Warner Brothers own. So, they own New Line Cinema, which did The Lord of the Rings.
Kissing Booth, The Lord of the Rings.
They own Turner Entertainment, which...
Destination Wedding to Mordor.
they own Turner Entertainment, who... They are doing the God's work for old movies with the Turner Classic Movies. They own a bit of the MGM lineup, so that's why they own stuff like The Wizard of Oz. I want to say they own the Maltese Falcon. Is that Warner Brothers?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They own Warner Brothers, you know, the entertainment. What else do they own?
Turner owns
Warner Brothers Animation, which goes for like Cartoon Network and stuff like that. They own HBO.
Oh,
Max.
No, we can't let Netflix own Cartoon Network.
Yeah, they own Cartoon Network.
Then they're just going to go, you know what?
Network's already dying.
No, but they're going to get all the classics out. They're going to get like Avatar Season 5.
No, that's Nickelodeon. Like, okay.
No, the is Gravity Falls?
No, that's Cartoon Disney Network. Channel.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, so let me... Okay, Cartoon Network is stuff like regular show, Amazing World of Gumball,
Teen Titans Go. Oh, no, no more regular show. Like, I love it so much, don't ruin it.
What else? Johnny Bravo. Johnny Bravo. The Powerpuff Girls.
Who's ready for a Powerpuff live action? Yeah, starring
I'm not going to do this now, but... I have seen someone leaked the proposed pilot for Powerpuff live action. It is one of the scariest things I've seen, and I am so happy it got cancelled.
No, but they do the diversity cut.
Yeah, well, no, it was that basically. What else do they own?
Oh God,
they own.
Oh my God, it was CW.
Yeah, on the CW.
Oh no. Oh no! Why has she got a buzz cut? Oh no! What are the dress?
And I'm not even a particularly big fan of the Powerpuff Girls.
What is the dress?
I'm just like, Jesus.
Oh no! Why are they all teenagers?
I know.
She was gonna be in it.
So what else do they?
Dove Cameron was gonna be in this. What the hell is going on?
They own...
Well, knowing Netflix, that one's gonna be pulled out of the locker.
Yeah, they. I'm not sure if we're gonna. This means more tax write-offs for, like, you know, what they did to Batgirl and what they did to... What they were going to do to Coyote versus Acme, but, you know, grace of Lord, that L saved, you know.
I genuinely love the studios that are just saving the general public's
wishes. Yeah, because, like, they... I hope that that might stop. I don't know too much about how the proper, like, inner workings of it works, but it might stop. But, you know, honestly, Warner Brothers... Out of any other studio, even more than MGM, has had a history of just constantly being bought out. You know, you had it with, like, Warner Seven Arts in the 60s. Then you had it with just, like, Turner buying Warner Brothers in mid-90s,
Done, and they've always done, is they've let Warner Bros. Just do their thing, largely. There's
yeah.
Been a couple of...
You don't realize it. Like, I think...
Like, I wouldn't have known they'd been bought if I didn't know.
Exactly.
What I'm worried is that Netflix is going to be, like... WarnerBros.N and then have like
well that was happening like movies. when Ted Turner I'm sorry how I like to call him Uncle Ted no look at him he looks like Uncle Ted how is that guy still alive oh my God how when Ted Turner bought
oh my God
he is such a like I love Ted Turner
Ted Turner has a nature preserve.
No, but he is, like, Ted Turner is doing the God's work.
Robert
like,
Edward Turner III.
Like,
he was born in 1938. He's still around.
I know. I heard Ted Turner never dies. And
he's only 87.
When we talk about, because, okay, let's
Uncle
get into
Ted.
It. We're doing Gremlins today.
Yes.
When we talk to about Gremlins 2, which, oh boy, there's actually quite a lot of stuff to talk about Ted Turner with that one, and we'll talk about that one maybe next year.
No! Wait, how long ago was this?
What?
This is important. Oh, January 7th, 2020. Never mind, he survived, guys, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Ted Turner was hospitalized after a bout with pneumonia.
Oh, God, Uncle Ted.
It's okay, he's still alive.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, no. He's got Lewy body dementia.
Oh, not Uncle Ted.
According to the New York Post, though, so I mean...
What do they know? okay, so let's get into Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Gremlins was a movie that was
Banger.
Released in the
in
summer.
In summer.
For 1984.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie directed...
In summer, directed. With Halloween monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want...
Yeah. It's a summer horror movie. It's a summer Christmas movie. Okay, it's a horror Christmas movie released in the summer. There we
it's
go.
Been given a retrospective 15.
Yes, that's an interesting one. And
so that's
we talked about Temple of Doom, and we'll get into...
Gremlins 2.
Yeah. So it was directed by Joe Dante.
What
which...
a legend. Corey Feldman is in this.
Yeah. Joe Dante is one of my favorite directors of all time.
He's a director, for sure.
Because he has directed... Movies that I think I would have directed if I was him as well.
I mean, there's some...
Like, the fact that Gremlins is his only, like, financially successful movie is really interesting to see.
Oh my God, he's the man behind Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yes, and so many, you know, so many...
Just to give you a taste, apparently he's done The Howling, which seems okay.
He's made a lot of those... He was one of... Okay.
Piranha, anybody? Which looks like a direct rip-off of Jaws.
Oh, no, but it is... It knows it. It's so good because it knows it's a direct rip-off of Jaws and just, like... Just, you know, goes all the way with it.
However, Hollywood Boulevard seems quite famous, no?
Yeah, he did, yeah, Explorers with, what's-his-face, Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix in their debuts. The Burbs, which is, I like The Burbs. Matinee is one of the best, one of the most underrated movies I have seen in my life.
Why is there a nuclear bomb in the background?
You need to see Matinee. It is so...
What's it about?
It is set during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and this guy who makes B-movies, like this one that he made called Mant, which is about a guy who radioactively fuses with an ant. It's a movie within a... That's a movie within a movie. And
oh my God, it's on Netflix entirely.
Is it actually? I need to watch it again. And it's just about like all these kind of just living during the Cuban Missile Crisis and like how much B movies mean to people.
B movies.
Small Soldiers, which, you know, that's kind of one that's kind of gone a bit of a cult.
Oh my God, there's a title that I don't think we're good to share, but he made
that. Oh, and let's say it. He made something called
The Movie Orgy,
which is a 4-hour long movie that is nothing but a combination of commercials, bits of other movies, trailers, and it's one of the greatest things that you can find on the internet, man. Like, it's basically compilation videos you find online before, like...
He did an episode.
Yeah, I actually made my own version of The Movie Orgy.
He did Homecoming.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. It's all the US Marines that are dead come back as zombies.
And so...
Who is this guy?
So Joe Dante is a man who grew up in...
He did The Phantom.
Did he?
Oh, no, he didn't. Simon Winchester. Yeah, apparently, so he produced
Joe
it.
Joe Dante was a man who got his start in Roger Corman's camp of B-movies. And he, after transitioning in, then he transitioned into the studio system of making his own, like, actual movies. And I'm gonna start something, and I'm gonna finish it. We are gonna look at, like, over the course of just, like, I don't know, for the next how long, we're gonna look at, like, about, like, 4 Joe Dante movies. I don't know, it's all gonna be consecutively, I'll spread it across the year. But his movies are one of the most interesting, and his history as a director is... really something. It's a man who really didn't just... Who constantly butted heads with the studio system. And the studio system just did not understand what he wanted to do. And that led to most of his movies underperforming. And after, like, Looney Tunes Back in Action, basically going, I don't want to, like, make Hollywood movies anymore. They are so much stress. So, and looking at so many of his movies, it is interesting. But Gremlins is a movie written by Chris Columbus. And Chris Columbus is another really unsung director, I'm going to be honest. Like, he directed...
It's because they all do kids' movies.
Yeah, Adventures in Babysitting, which I will stand by saying that is a good movie. That is a quintessential 80s movie. Then he did Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire, the first two Harry Potter movies.
Chris Columbus
movies.
Is like... I think it's fair to say that he's like the... The guy who did, like, The Breakfast Club and all of those?
John Hughes.
He's, like, the John Hughes of the late 90s to 2000s.
Yeah, I think the directing in those... and then he did...
Have you seen the Family Guy skit with John Hughes? Where Peter's, like, drunk and he's, like, walking around and he's, like, realizing how bad he's messed up his life. And Chris Columbus emerges from the... not Chris Columbus. John Hughes emerges from the earth and he goes, like, Peter, you're gonna go to hell. And he's, like... John Hughes, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm in hell, Peter. He's like,
what did
why?
John Hughes
he's
say?
Like, he's like, you made so many of those 80s movies. You're a pretty good guy. And he goes, you have to be a really good guy to go to heaven, Peter. And then he just disappears. It's like so random.
He directed all the Christmas Chronicles.
Yes. He also did, oh God, he did the Thursday Murder Club.
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's Don't.
I have not seen that.
Chris Columbus, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
And yeah, so, and it is, so, I'm just kind of explaining, good, but like, what do you think of Gremlins before we get into like...
Gremlins 3?
Oh, we'll get into that. I will get into that.
Oh, it's not out yet. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of Gremlins? What?
I think the first one, I haven't seen the second and third one, to be fair. I think it works. It's fun. It's got really cool visual effects. It looks cool. The acting isn't that bad. There's a bit of oriental mysticism, like slightly biased there. But I mean, in terms of the scenes in the cinema, it works. I like it.
I really like this movie. The only issue with it is less so this movie's fault, but the existence of the sequel, where you watch that movie. I don't want to spoil it, but you watch that movie. A movie that takes the literal piss out of everything that happened in this movie. For example, there's a bit in the second movie where it's like, the main guy is telling, and the gremlins get out again, and the main guy is telling them, like, guys, we need to do something. And they're making fun of the fact of, like, the concept of the gremlin. Because it's like, what if the gremlin's on a plane, and he's on a time zone, and there's a time zone, and he eats while he's going across a time zone? I mean, you know, it's going to be 12 o'clock somewhere. It's like, it's not wrong. And it's like, hey, what if a gremlin gets something stuck in his teeth? You know, what happens when that happens? So you watch this movie and it takes most of the stuff here, like, pretty just, like, genuinely. And it's kind of
where, like, can you watch this movie?
You can watch the first Gremlins.
Gremlins 2.
I don't know.
It looks like a masterpiece in modern cinema.
Yeah. It is genuinely one of the greatest movies I have seen in my life. And that is no hyperbole. It is amazing.
It looks awful.
Yeah, so this movie...
Necker Gremlin.
Yeah, so with this movie, it is... the concept of the gremlin kind of goes before this movie. There was supposed to be a film that Roald Dahl and Walt Disney were supposed to make together.
Roald Dahl wrote this book?
No, he wrote a script called The Gremlins, and Walt Disney wanted to turn that into a movie during the 40s. Because, like, during the 40s, there was this whole thing of, like, oh, if your engine isn't working well, like, you're flying, it's because it was a gremlin. There's a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he fights off a gremlin. And it's like, they were going to make one, but that fell through. But then they brought back the concept of the gremlin, but kind of changed it here. And watching this movie is, it's just like, it really is just kind of like a throwback in a way. It's timeless. But it's a throwback. Like, you've got that Chinatown sequence at the beginning. And I'm just like... I watch it and I realize, oh, this is what the Simpsons Treehouse Horror was making fun of. And it's like, ooh, that's bad. And it's like, this is something that definitely wouldn't fly today with the whole, like... I don't know. People would have a problem with, you know, a stereotypical, like, Chinese man. But,
So you can technically order the Gremlins original script if you wanted it.
Really?
But it's like £30. So if you're a massive fan of the Gremlins, or online somewhere, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying?
No, it's just like with this movie, like, again, it is so interesting to watch Joe Dante movies with the concept of who he is and what his biggest influences are. And it's not to the extent that the second movie is, because you watch that movie and you're like, oh, I get it. But this movie feels like a live action Looney Tunes cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point that in the scene in the bar, so the thing with this thing, and they never bring it up, that the main character, Billy, is like an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a bit in the bar where, like, Joe Dante's probably biggest influence, if you watch genuinely basically every one of his movies, Chuck Jones is there, and he's like, I can't do a Chuck Jones impression, but he's like, oh, that's a really good picture. And one of the funniest bits in the movie to me, and it's something that you don't even see, is that in the bar, on the TV, they're playing one of his cartoons, one of Chuck Jones's cartoons they made in like the late 40s. And he's just there shaking his head and just going like, oh, this isn't very good. And it's like, and I like movies that, like, you can really see, like, the director's stamp on it.
Yeah.
You know, where you can just, like, really tell what they're interested in and what they like. And I think the special effects in this movie have held up really well.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously animatronics when you look at it now. But it kind of works, because they're not really, like, any animal we know. So if they're a little bit, like, janky in their movement, or they're not quite,
I know,
you know, how you would expect them, it kind of works.
And I much prefer it, like, than to just, like, CGI, you know?
Yeah, there's a nice touch to it. But it is, like, It is quite an 80s movie.
It is a very 80s movie.
Like, when you look at the main character, the main character, the guy, yeah. He is, like, quintessentially an 80s man.
Yeah, Billy. It is very 80s.
I mean, he's got the perm, semi-mullet, like, prom curls.
Oh, my God. But the beginning of this movie... Not the beginning, but, like, the bit where they get into town. And there's a cute few references, like, in the theater. I'm not sure. You'd have to look. But in the theater, there's two references. There's a reference to something called A Boy's Life and something called Watch the Skies that are playing in the theater.
Watch the Skies.
I think A Boy's Life was the original title for E.T. And Watch the Skies was supposed to be the sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and because Steven Spielberg produced this. So that's the reference. I love the woman in this movie. Like...
The mum.
No. Mrs. Gulch, is that her name?
Mm. Oh, so there's a movie... Yeah.
No. Is it Gulch? That might. I can't remember. I think that's the name of the woman from Wizard of Oz.
Did you say A Boy's Life or This
Boy's Life? A Boy's Life.
This Boy's Life is apparently a very old, like very young DiCaprio movie.
Oh no.
With Robert De Niro.
That's something I gotta look into.
Is that not what you're talking about? No, you're talking about E.T.
The woman at the beginning of this movie. You're gonna have to look it up. Because I cannot remember her name. But she is literally the woman who, like, it's so cartoonish how evil she is. How the movie will be playing, like, I can't remember, it's like, Christmas. And then, like, I swear it's basically just like a smash cut to her with this boom, 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 boom. And it's just her. And it's just her. And there's like a man who says, I can't remember her name, but it's just like, Merry Christmas. And then she looks at him, and she's like, and the man's just like, and it's just like, she's basically, and she would have had to have been like inspired by this woman. I can't prove it. I cannot prove it. But it has to be inspired from the woman from The Wizard of Oz.
Christmas.
I swear she says, what's so merry about this? Oh my, like, give me like 5 seconds to find
out. Like, really fun, like...
Her name is literally Polly Holiday, which sounds like a song from Mary Poppins.
There's some of, like, the funniest, like...
Mrs. Deagle, that's
just it. 80s moments ever, yeah. Like when Gizmo's in the RC car. And he has like, coloured pencils, and he's just firing them off his, like, homemade bow.
Oh, my God. Isn't that the Rambo reference?
Yeah, he's dressed up like Rambo.
Yeah, okay, her name is Mrs. Deagle, and she literally goes to, like, oh, I'm gonna get you, Billy, a little dog, too. It's like, oh, my God, and oh, my, I think this is what...
Oh, it's a song as well. There's a song dedicated to her.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's just classical music.
Oh, but the bit where, like... The gremlins come to her house, mangle with, like, the controls of her, like, you know, when those old people have, like, those chairs that go up the stairs?
Yeah.
Mangle with the controls, send her up and down, oh, flies, yeah. Then, like, she gets chucked, an old woman gets chucked out of a window. It is so, so childish, and it is so funny to me. Like, the bit in the cinema where it's just, like, they're all just, like, in unison, just, like, singing Hi-Ho while watching Snow White. It's just like...
And then they start like screaming and throwing popcorn at the screen.
Oh my God. Oh, but Gizmo is genuinely like...
He's such an angel. What a cute kid.
Played by Howie Mandel, who like... He does Americans Got Talent. No?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, he has been the judge for Americans... You know Howie Mandel. I show you the face. You know him, Howie Mandel.
Oh my God. He did Gizmo?
Yeah.
No way.
It is insane. Because he kind of went off like on a slump like in the 90s and he just came back as the host of America's Got Talent and everybody...
But
just
what else has Howie Mandel done?
Not really that much. He's just been like committed to like for the like, past 15 years, he's committed to just doing America's Got Talent.
But what does he know about talent? No offense.
I don't know. Like he plays Gizmo.
Oh, he's done a couple of the movies. He's done Little Monsters. And he had his own show for... A year.
Oh, this is so interesting. So basically, like, before Zach Gilligan got the part for Billy, the people who auditioned for it are basically just, like, I want to say The Outsiders.
Okay.
And I could be completely wrong.
The Outsiders?
I can't remember who was everybody who was in The Outsiders. But, like, Kevin Bacon, Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez, and Rob Lowe.
Oh, yeah.
Only one of those was in
really?
The Outsiders.
Yeah. That,
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio. I swear Emilio Estevez is. Yes, he's in The Outsiders. Don't even play with me. I know. Yeah, Emilio Estevez is... Let me check. Yeah, Ralph Macchio. Emilio Estevez. Rob Lowe. Don't criticize me when I'm right.
Oh, Rob Lowe was?
Yeah, that's
and
what I
Emilio,
said.
Jesus, I need to read better.
Yeah, so like all those people were basically like, yeah, I'm going to sign
gold.
Up.
Stay gold. Stay gold, pony boy.
It's
so weird to me that Cobra Kai never dies is also like...
with Corey Feldman, who was in... Stand by Me.
He... And the iconic Heaven and Hell music album. Do you know that? Yeah. It's like known as the worst album ever.
Corey Feldman.
It's actually hilarious. Like the album cover is like so poorly made. It's like exactly how the album sounds. It's just awful.
With Corey Feldman, like the reason that Corey Feldman's in this movie, is because he auditioned for E.T. And he was like this close to getting it, but in the end, like they gave it to Thomas something. Jeez, and we just did E.T. as well. I forget.
I really need to watch The Outsiders. Thomas. It looks amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
Henry Thomas.
But Spielberg was like, "Oh, I feel bad for you, kid. Here's this role in like Gremlins."
And the Goonies.
Yeah, and the Goonies as well.
There's so much denim in The Outsiders. It's like just.
Yeah, it's a very. Like
pure denim.
It's a very 80s. That is like a very 80s movie to watch.
Well, it's an 80s movie trying to be a 50s movie, which is...
Oh, yeah, right. I forget.
It's so not a 50s movie because no one talks about what was going on in the 50s. It's
yeah.
Just like,
the bit in the
great blip.
The bit in the movie where Billy's girlfriend is talking about her trauma from like when Santa... It's just like this movie completely just like turns when that happens. But when she's like, oh, I remember the reason why I don't like Christmas is because one day my dad was pretending to be Santa Claus to surprise me and he came down the Christmas tree and then he slipped and then he like broke his neck and they couldn't get him out of the tree. And I swear she says like the fire was on as well at the same time. And you're just there like, oh my God. And it would hit so much harder for me.
So crazy.
If it wasn't for the sequel that literally go like, oh my God. And like, I swear, he goes, oh, that gremlin looks like Abraham Lincoln. Oh, don't talk about Lincoln. Oh my God. Something happened. No, the reason I hate Lincoln Memorial Day is really, you know, we don't exactly have time for this. Right? No, please. I got to talk about Lincoln Memorial Day. And it, yeah, so like so many bits of this movie is just kind of ruined for the existence of this sequel.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, but the bit there's a few like cameos in the background in this movie. Steven Spielberg, if you in the scene where like the dad's like at the convention, Steven Spielberg is the man like in the recumbent like bicycle. Like it's just like a cameo at the back. The composer Jerry Goldsmith, who you've definitely heard like a Jerry Goldsmith, like. Thing before, like you know his style. I promise you, you do. And the Gremlins theme.
Yeah, he did Alien.
Yeah, the Gremlins theme. Oh my God.
What a movie, Alien, Planet of the Apes, The Omen, Alien, Poltergeist, Basic Instinct, Rudy Mulan, and the Star Trek movies.
Yeah. So I told you.
A lot of money.
So like when the Gremlins theme.
Oh, he did Rambo.
Really?
And The Mummy, and Chinatown.
I didn't know that.
Damn. He's lucky he got accolades.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about it.
Chinatown.
This movie, and I think the sequel definitely goes further with this, but it's the satire. It's not a satire of just like kind of the consumerism of Western like civilization.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to see in this movie where it's just like the bit where like the father's just like, oh my God, every kid in America's got one of these. We can just like, the more we keep like, creating, we can just manufacture and just like more money and just like, you know, it's nothing like too like it's nothing too in your face, but like you do see it there. And like the sequel really goes far with like the whole like, you know, consumerism angle with it. But should we talk about like, well, we talked about it with Temple of Doom, where it was just like how this movie was really successful.
Yes.
And it was the only successful film that Joe Dante really made. Which again is another darn shame, but it's just like
darn
with
shame.
This with
Dante,
Yeah.
Oh God.
But with it's the same thing as Temple of Doom. This and Temple of Doom were like when, because again, old ladies are getting chucked out of the window in this movie. It's not exactly like a happy movie. And you watch this movie, and today it has a 15. Back then it was given a PG, which, you know, that can show you just how, like, things change and, like, tastes change. It was Warner Brothers' most successful movie at the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, until Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, and it was a thing that was like, oh, this created the PG-13. I don't need to explain it again.
That's kind of
fair. Which is fair enough, definitely.
It's kind of weird that it created the PG-13 only to not get a PG-13.
Well, no, because it was after. It was just like, guys, we can't be marketing like movies like this. And
when she kills the gremlin in the microwave, like...
Yeah, when it bursts. I mean, I just keep thinking about the woman getting jumped out of the window, but like... Yeah. And you see this with a lot of movies. You see this with a lot of movies, especially in the 80s, where, like, one movie is successful, and you can see, like, how many imitators come. So you saw that with Jaws in the 70s. You see that with Indiana Jones. You see that with, strangely enough, not Star Wars. You see it with Batman. You see it with Beetlejuice, where, like, after it, like, a bunch of just, like, not parodies, just, like, actual, just, like, people trying to, like, hop onto the train. So you have stuff like Ghoulies, which I just found out existed.
Ghoulies.
They'll get you in the end. Okay. Troll.
Oh my god, Ghoulies has four movies.
Come again?
There's Ghoulies, followed by Ghoulies 2, which, like, there's nothing on. And then there's Ghoulies 3, the Ghoulies go to college.
Fine. There's one called
Ghoulies Go to College. It's
like they've got one called Munchies. With a poster, that definitely wouldn't fly today.
I think I've heard of the Munchies.
No, you haven't, because it's just like, what is that? Yeah, so like that was
Ghoulies Go to College.
Thank you. I mean, it couldn't be that bad, right? But but like this is gonna start something, because before this, Joe Dante had only done, like, he had done a segment for The Twilight Zone, and he had done Piranha, and this put him into the Hollywood system. And what's going to be really interesting, that I'm hoping I'm going to carry on doing, that I'm going to look at a lot of his movies and just kind of see, like, how Hollywood basically ate him up and, like, spat him out. Wait, what's wrong?
What is the Ghoulies? What is this? They get summoned out of the toilet. And it, like, it turns into like a Macbeth potion and just appears.
Yeah, so like, and like, you should do this with a director as well. You should do this. You should find a director and we just.
I'm kind of like doing it a bit with Fincher. I've seen almost all of his movies.
But like, no, we should like pick like four of his movies and just like talk about that. I'm gonna call it Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, exactly. See, like, that's just, like, you know.
Shall we...
Oh, jeez. Oh, we've got to get into Gremlins 3. So, like, two weeks ago, Chris Columbus... it was announced that... No, it was Chris Columbus. It was, like, Gremlins 3 is being announced. Okay. And it's, like, for me, the main issue is, how do you make a Gremlins 3 after Gremlins 2? How do you make another Gremlins movie when you already made a Gremlins movie that just completely made the fun out of it? I guess nobody saw Gremlins 2, so, like, fine. But, and the other thing is, are they going to use, like, practical effects? That is really concerning for me.
And that is quite integral.
You know, I just don't think a Gremlins 3 would work without someone like Joe Dante making it. And it was the thing that even Joe Dante, after this movie came out, it was like, hey, Joe, like, this movie made a lot of money. Can we make a sequel? And Joe's just like, what are you supposed to do with a Gremlin sequel unless you're just doing the same thing again? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you would just end up doing the same thing again. The Gremlins get out and just, like, wreak havoc. So Joe is like, and they're like, fine, we don't need you. We can make it ourselves. And they cannot think of an idea for themselves. There is a really good Key and Peele sketch. One of the best I've seen. Have you never seen the Key and Peele Gremlins 2 sketch?
No.
It is... I will show you after this, because I can't play it now.
But right, like, what are we giving it?
I would give it a 4 stars.
3.5.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it can have a 4.
4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall we do... Stars. I think it's your turn to try guess the box office.
Shoot, I forgot about 1984.
Okay,
hit
ready?
Me, hit me.
1984. At number 10, I haven't even seen this, so I'm going to give you the first line of the plot on Wikipedia. Alan is fascinated by something below the surface and jumps overboard even though he cannot swim. In the ocean, he encounters a young girl, and when they hold hands, he inexplicably...
I don't know. He
finds himself able to breathe underwater.
Splash.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Oh, I was going to watch the one... what? How does it start? No. Splash. Like, everybody knows Splash, yeah, right?
Yeah. You know Splash?
I've seen it.
Right?
Is it good?
The mom...
Like... It's always on TV. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, but it's... At number 9, it's the third installment, I believe, of the second
You've
best...
You've got to get it right, man. Like...
Star something.
Star Trek The Wrath of Khan!
Search for Spock.
Damn it!
Okay, we've got a classic... 20th Century Fox, like, super 80s romance movie with directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Reversing the Stone.
Yeah. Okay. another classic. It's like the classic 80s movie with Kevin Bacon.
The Outsiders?
Oh, are you joking? You don't know it. It has that really...
You can't just say with Kevin Bacon. He's
John,
in some...
John Lister Go as well. It's a dance movie.
Footloose.
Yes. Now, do you... It's like the...
I'm obviously the guy who would say Footloose. Like, what? Do okay. I look like the kind of guy?
Then there's a movie about the police starring...
Oh, it's a police academy.
Yeah. I don't really know what else to say. Then,
when Marge told me that she was joining the police academy, I thought it was going to be really funny, like that movie, Spaceballs. But it ended up being really boring, like that movie, Police Academy.
Okay, I don't really know what else to say because I'll give it away. It's got Ralph Macchio.
The Outsiders. Glad to get it.
Okay, at number 4, we just talked about it.
Gremlins.
Yeah. Number 3, we have also talked about this movie.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah. And number 2 is Bill Murray's arguably most famous movie.
Ever Groundhog Day? Really? Oh. Something strange.
Have you seen the Key Peele? Have you seen the Key Peele sketch about the guy that did the
Ghostbusters? Yeah, like all the most irrelevant songs that he's like, released. He's the guy who did Ghostbusters.
Best hits. Without Ghostbusters.
Like, nobody's buying that.
And then at number 1, where the Temple Axel F song came from.
Ah.
The legend.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Banger. Banger, yes, banger.
Well, 1984 was a stacked year.
Beverly Hills Cop made so much money.
Who won the Academy Award? I just want to see, like, for that year. I want to say it's Gandhi.
Awards.
That could be completely wrong.
Best film.
No, because Gandhi went against E.T., I think.
Amadeus.
That's a movie I need to see. That's a movie.
Then best director went...
Yeah,
Amadeus Foreman, swept. Basically, it swept.
Yeah,
best original song in the BAFTA Awards, Ghostbusters.
Who won best original score, was it?
Best original score went to Morris Jar for A Paris to India and Prince for Purple Rain.
Wait, what? Wait.
Apparently there was two.
Wait, for Prince can...
Prince maybe got song instead of score.
Yeah, what score?
What? It's
score
coming up.
Was Passage to India.
Yeah.
Which is the guy, Maurice Jarre, who did Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. And then Ennio Morricone for Once Upon a Time in America for BAFTA Awards.
Mm. Okay, it was... Wait.
Romancing the Stone won Best Comedy or Musical for Globe Awards. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've not seen Romancing the Stone.
I just called to say I love you won the best song for the Academy Awards.
Wait, what? Purple Rain?
Oh my god, it's
Purple
Stevie
Rain
won
for best original score? Is that the world we live in? That's Muppets awesome. Take Manhattan was nominated? Thank you, Jesus. That's great.
Stevie Wonder won the best original song. He's got an Oscar.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, I just called to say I love you for The Woman in Red. Was the best original song and won an Oscar. Stevie Wonder has an Oscar. Same guy who I thought was dead like 2 months ago.
How did you think Stevie Wonder was dead?
Have you seen he played a concert and he had to stop the concert and tell everyone he can't see? Because everyone's been accusing him of like being able to see.
That's been happening a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like all these pictures of Michael Jackson looking confused, and it would just say even Michael Jackson knew he was faking it. And like, I mean, it's fair enough. He makes like the best music. Like,
okay, I'm just looking at the Oscars. So, Gremlins didn't win Best Visual Effects and even get nominated. One that won was Temple of Doom, which... Okay, fine. And Ghostbusters got nominated.
Feel like Ghostbusters deserved that one.
2010, that sequel to 2001, A Space Odyssey, that nobody talks about.
Is it any good?
I've heard a great thing. Best makeup for Amadeus. Amadeus is one of the best movies for makeup. Genuinely. Oh my god.
That's fair.
No, but you've seen oh my god, what's that guy in Grand Budapest? Who plays Adult Zero.
Oh yeah, no, I know who you mean.
What's his name?
Who plays the
F. Murray Abraham. His makeup is what he just looks like now. It is so good.
Cool. I need to see it.
Like genuinely.
I need to see it
too. Okay.
So
that's cool.
That's kind of a wrap. Netflix, don't buy Warner Bros. Please leave them on the street. Exactly. Thanks for listening.
Don't make Gremlins 3.
And don't do that. Don't do it.
That's a dumb thing to do.
Thanks for listening. I've been Eddie.
Yeah, and we will see you next year.
We will see you in the new year. Happy New Year, guys. Yeah, new year. And a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah.